would do your work there, and that you would raise up servants through these ministries. And, Lord, that you would please just be with those that work in these ministries, Lord, the missionaries involved, and just pray that you would help. And, Lord, now we pray that you would bless this message and that you'd speak to our hearts. Get me out of the way, Lord, and just communicate what you desire. Lord, I know this is what you want for this brief time we have in this first message, Lord, and I just pray that you would just communicate your truth, Lord, because I can't do it on my own, Lord, and I pray that you bless, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk to you for a minute about the two battlefields of missions, and we find that here in Exodus chapter 17. Verse number 8, the Bible says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." And just to give you a little bit of background, the people of Amalek, the Amalekites, they were really the sworn enemies of the children of Israel. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, we see many conflicts with the children of Israel. They were the first ones to oppose Israel as they went to the Promised Land. They came out. This is before the spies were sent in, and the children of Israel were dwelling in the desert 40 years. They're on their way to the Promised Land after just leaving Egypt, and the Amalekites come out, and they're opposing them. They want to destroy them. They want to kill them. They want to make them flee from continuing any further. And just a great opposition had come out in Israel, who's trying to complete the will of God. And can I tell you, anytime we try to complete the will of God, anytime we try to follow God's plan, the devil will come at us as well in great opposition and in attack and in confrontation. And so here comes the armies of the Amalekites, and they're ready to attack Israel. We see that Moses, through the instructions of the Lord, he commands Joshua to go out and to fight with the Amalekites. And so Joshua, he takes his soldiers and he takes his men, and he tells them, okay, we're going to go out. And they sharpen their swords. And I want you to understand, these men are putting their lives in great risk. Many men were going to die. This is going to be a bloody, terrible battle. In the days of war is terrible and destructive in our days. And in these days, they fought with swords and spears and hand-to-hand and in each other's faces. It was a gritty affair, and I imagine many of these men were afraid, and so they prepared their swords and their spears, and they inspected their armor, and they planned their attack strategy, and they planned how they were going to go out into battle, and they got ready to go, and the day came, they went out into the valley ready to fight the Amalekites. You can imagine the great army of the Amalekites coming over, maybe the other hill there, and just the fear that the people felt, but they stood there in courage and in faith and ready to fight, and they drew their swords and they went out and they began to fight, and it was bloody and it was tiring and it was physically and emotionally and exhausting, but it was God's fight and it had to be done. Someone had to go out and fight the enemy. Someone had to go out onto that battlefield and begin to fight. And here we see a physical battle that had to be done in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord, the Lord's work required a physical fight. And can I tell you, many times as we serve the Lord and as we try to do missions and we try to do the Lord's work here in San Antonio, there are many things that we do that require physical labor that is exhausting, that is difficult, and that needs to be done. There are many things we do in the Lord's work that require us to get out of bed and to work hard all day. Soul winning, it's great to preach about soul winning, but you know what you have to do? You have to get out of bed and you have to go out and walk the streets and knock the doors and sweat and do the work of the Lord. Somebody has to print the tracts. Somebody has to work and to get the money to print the tracts. Somebody has to go out and buy the ink and the paper and prepare everything. In this church, there's just the hours every week that is put into everything going on. Folks, there's a physical labor that needs to be done. Sometimes I think we hinder the Lord's work because our problem is that we're lazy and we don't want to work hard and we don't want to make sacrifices physically. And we say, hey, I'm too tired to go to church tonight. I had to work today. We have to do the Lord's work. There's a physical fight that had to be done. Someone had to go. The mission field requires a physical battle. Somebody has to get on the plane. Somebody has to get out and go and take the word physically down to the mission field. Missions is a spiritual work, but can I tell you, sometimes when you spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours in the visa's office and sitting there and trying to get the visas and trying to get all the luggage together and trying to get the track ship down and everything. There are many times where we're just, you have to get out of bed and go and work all day to do the work of the Lord. It's a physical battle. It requires diligence. The Bible commands us to be diligent. We have to be hard workers. The mission field requires laborers who are not going to be lazy. You cannot go to the mission field and expect someone to supervise you and everything. You must be a diligent person. And so there's just a physical battle that has to be done in order to accomplish the Lord's work. But as Joshua was there and him and his soldiers were fighting this battle, we see something interesting in our text. Even though they were there fighting, there was a separate battlefield at the same time. And this separate battlefield was what was going to determine, although it was necessary, the physical fights, it wasn't what was going to win the battle. There was a separate battlefield. And that battlefield was located on the top of the mount overlooking the valley with Moses and several men with him. And God had commanded them, look with me in the text here in verse number 9. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand in the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. So we see here the victory was won on a spiritual level. There was a spiritual battle that had to take place, and there was a spiritual battlefield that Moses was on with his men while Joshua was down in the valley fighting. And it was a very difficult thing when we first went to the mission field and we had got prepared and we had gone to Bible school and we had served in many different ways, and we went down there and we're ready to go, we're ready to start church. We went to language school. And we got down to the field, and I have to tell you, I was utterly unprepared for the spiritual oppression that we were going to face when we got to the field. I was utterly unprepared. But what I realized, what I learned quickly, the Bible speaks in 2 Corinthians, and for the sake of time, we're not going to go there, but it talks about the sacrifices to idols and how the demons and the devils are behind those idols. And in Colombia, I wasn't aware that how oppressive the idol worship and the demonic influence would be when I got there. And serving there, we began to realize these statues, these things they're carrying through the streets. The Virgin of El Carmen, one of the cities we work in, that the whole country worships on a special holiday once a year, and they drive trucks with big old Mary statues on the top of them because they believe that she's going to protect their trucks every year, and they worship her, and they pray to her, and they chant to her, and they do all these things. And to me, I thought, this is really strange. You know, we don't do that in the States. The Catholics don't do this in the States. But folks, there was something more going on. The devil owned that land. It is the devil's territory. And in that those cities that we were going to, these little mountain villages, where there was no church there preaching the gospel. There hadn't been a church there preaching the gospel, and the devil wasn't going to give up any ground without a fight. I was not prepared for that. I was not prepared for the witchcraft and the occultism and the Satan worship. I thought, I grew up in church and in Bible Institute and in Bible school. You know, they say, hey, you know, the mission field, they've got the witch doctors and they have this different stuff. And you know, spiritual battlefield, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But they didn't tell me how to deal with demon-possessed people. They didn't tell me what to do when we would go there and we get that call in the middle of the night and they say, hey, can you come over here? There's a lady in my house, and she's asking for help. And we come over there, and they take us to the lady who's demon-possessed. And I thought, oh, she's just got to be on drugs, because I'm an American. And we don't really deal with that. The devil works differently sometimes here in this atheist culture. And they take me over there, and I look at this lady, and she's sitting there, and they say that she has a demon, and I think, oh, she's just got to be on drugs. I'm going to talk to her. And she opens her mouth, and a demon's voice speaks to me. and every hair on my body stands up straight. And we witness to this lady, and we read the Bible, and as we're reading the Bible and praying, she's foaming at the mouth and blood on the floor, screaming at us to stop. And for hours we prayed for her. And her boyfriend was there, and he was possessed as well. And he's laughing at us. And a lost man who was there, who knew he wasn't saved, ran away in fear because he was afraid the demon was going to jump out of her into him because he knew he wasn't saved. After we dealt with these things and these things started happening, people in our church, we learned they used to be into witchcraft. They used to be into occultism, and they started dealing with demonic stuff in their lives. Can I tell you, we didn't know what to do about it. I wasn't prepared. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't help. Because there was something else going on. There was a spiritual battle that I was completely disarmed and unable to fight. Because, folks, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And as we would go and we'd try to start these churches and we would have, you know, Satan would send his forces, whether it be in the form of spiritual oppression, whether it be in the form of different things. I've told Pastor many stories, things that people have thrown into our doorway in our churches that I can't say in public. Folks, we weren't prepared for that. And then you add on the loneliness on top of that and all, and not being having any, you know, being there by yourself. And there were many times where we just wanted to get out of there. We weren't ready. Because we were down there fighting a spiritual battle. But there's a spiritual battle on the mission field that's taking place here. It's much more in depth than just, hey, let's send this, here's some money, let's send you to the mission field. There's much more going on. And that battle we found is won through the prayer of God's people. I think of Peter in Acts chapter number 12. He's thrown in prison. He's in chains, and they're gonna kill him that morning. And he's kept in chains in the prison, but the Bible says, but prayer was made of the church of God for him. And because of the prayer from the church of God, God opened up his chains and opened up the prison. And Peter, the angel, wakes him up. You know, he's not doing anything. He's laying there and he's sleeping. And God just says, hey, get up. Let's go. And the angel takes him out. And Peter's just, what's going on? And God rescues him and takes him out of there and provides for his needs and wins the day, wins the victory. Folks, you know what happened when Moses was up on that mountain and he took that rod of God and he lifted that rod in the air? You know what happened? Joshua won! They won! You know what that rod represents for us missionaries? As we are on the mission field fighting that battle, that rod is you praying for us. That rod is you fighting with us in intercessory prayer. Because, folks, we can't win on our own. We can't beat these forces of darkness without the power of God. And that rod has to be lifted up. That spiritual battle is won through God's people. I'm going to go back to Colombia. I'm going to draw the sword and we're going to sweat and we're going to work. But what happens on the field, what is accomplished, is dependent upon your battlefield, which is on your knees right here, praying for us. Folks, what you are doing here praying for us is not less important than what we're doing on the field doing the work. The battlefield, if anything, you could argue the spiritual one that Moses was doing is much more important than what Joshua was doing. Because it was there that the battle was won. We have seen God's people's prayers answered in our lives on the mission field in tremendous ways. The fact that we're still there is a testament to that. The fact that God has gotten us through so many trials is a testament to that. God's people's prayers have helped us. Folks, there have been times where we were this close to coming back. Someone was praying for us. And people have prayed for us. We've experienced the rod of prayer lifted up for us, and it's helped us with our safety. We've had times where mobs were throwing rocks, and our car passed through the rock showers, and all the other vehicles, their windows were shattered out by these big rocks, but our windows didn't break. We've had times of emotional distress when we were just at the end of our rope, ready to come back, ready to throw the towels in, just in the pit of despair, but God got us through it. God kept us going because somebody was holding up that rod. Somebody was praying for us. And we've seen God break down spiritual strongholds. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. And we've seen God break through that. And sinners understand the gospel and people's lives changed. And that is a result of you praying for us. You standing and holding that rod high for us. The solution is prayer, folks. But while the prayer is the solution and how the battle is won, the opposite is also true. When you don't hold us up in prayer, the battle is lost. Look, please, with me in our text here in Exodus chapter 17, verse number 11. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed." But listen to this. "And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed." Sometimes we talk of prayer as, yeah, if I pray, it will help the missionary. But we very seldom consider what will happen if I don't pray. We will be defeated. We will not have the power and the protection that we could have. Because, folks, prayer changes what the Creator of the universe does. Prayer affects what God does. I don't know why God chose it that way, but He did. It's true. Prayer changes what He does. There are times when the hand of God's people can get heavy and prayer can falter. And while we've experienced much victory in Colombia, we've also experienced much defeat. Sometimes the spiritual blindness, the spiritual oppression, the hardness of hearts, the demonic influence, sometimes it's painfully obvious that the power of God is lacking. And sometimes in those worst times of defeat and despair, you can wonder, has prayer faltered? Has someone let down the rod? Is the rod being held up for us? I remember one time a lady talked to me after church service, and remember, be careful what you say to your missionaries at their display tables, because you could end up as a new illustration in their new message. But she came and she told us, "I just want to let you know that we're praying for you." And I said, "Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that." And she said, "Well, not for you specifically. I just say, Lord, please just bless all the missionaries." Can I tell you, in the fight and the blood and the sweat and the demonic oppression that we're facing in Colombia, "Lord, please bless all the missionaries" just ain't cutting it. It's not enough. We need you to hold the rod. We need you to intercede for the missionaries. We need you to get on your knees and plead with God to help those missionaries. Please. It's not enough. "Lord, bless all the missionaries." You affect what we're doing. There are two battlefields to this missions thing, folks. We there on the field, you here with the rod. You have to hold that rod. You have to do your part, or we will not win. We will not have that power. You say, "Well, Brother Putney, don't you pray?" Yes, we pray. I pray for you. I pray for this church almost every day. I pray for Pastor Cummings. I pray for all of our churches that support us. And I spoke with the pastor the other week, and he told me, "I just want to let you know I pray for you about once a week." I pray for him every day. Please. You don't have that many missionaries that you couldn't pray for us. by name every single day. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you hold the rod? Why not? What is more important? Because you're okay with sending us there. You have a job to do too. It's not just us with the sword in the valley. It's you with the rod on the mountain. Pastor Cummings wanted me to mention something that I told him while we were in Columbia about how many people read our prayer letters. We use an email service for our prayer letters, and I recommend missionaries do not do that. And the reason why is it tells you how many people opened your emails. And I look at our last letter that went out to hundreds of people, and about 30% of them were open. And the other 70% were never even open. Just people just deleted it. People just don't care. Can I tell you something, folks? We need you to hold that rod. Please. We can't do it alone. It's not enough. Our good intentions, our training, our physical labor, we could work 24 hours and never sleep. We can't do it with the physical labor. We have to have God's power. We have to have God's protection. We have to have the Lord holding that rod. You holding that rod and God answering your prayers for us. Brethren, pray for us. Paul, over and over and over again in his letters, pleaded with the churches. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Would you examine your prayer life tonight? And if you're not praying for missions, would you please realize that you've let the rod drop? You know what Moses did when he saw that they had let the rod drop? When he saw Joshua losing the battle, they got Aaron and Hur to come alongside and prop it up. Hey, what can we do to remember this? Let's get this done. Say, Brother Putney, I got to admit, I'm not praying for you missionaries. Okay, this is what you do. You take a piece of paper and you go and you write down our names. And then you put a reminder on your phone or wherever it says, whatever time it is in the day that you do your devotions, please pray for these missionaries. And then you pray for us. It's not difficult, folks. Pray for us. Please. Pray for us. Because it's the only way that the battle can be won. Sometimes people will preach messages about how to pray for missionaries, and we'll talk about different points, you know, pray for their families and pray for their safety and pray for these things. They're great messages. I love listening to those messages. But can I tell you, at this point, I don't care how you pray for me. Pray for us, please. Because without you holding that rod, this is not just about, I'm going to give a little bit more money to missions, this thing. This is more important than that. This is your battlefield. We're down there in the valley, but you're up there with the rod. Don't let that rod drop, please. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this church. Thank you for your word. I pray you bless the sermon to follow as well. Help us, God, to be faithful in prayer and to fight the spiritual battle on our knees, because, Lord, we cannot fight it in any other way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.